Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope it encourages you to live and love like Jesus.
Good morning. My name is Sarah Mayberry, and today I'll be reading the scripture passage from Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and his powerful strength. Put on God's armor so that you can make a stand against the tricks of the devil. We aren't fighting against human enemies, but against rulers, authorities, forces of cosmic darkness, and spiritual powers of evil in the heavens. Therefore, pick up the full armor of God so that you can stand your ground on the evil day and after you have done everything possible to still stand. So stand with the belt of truth around your waist, justice as your breastplate, and put shoes on your feet so that you are ready to spread the good news of peace. Above all, carry the shield of faith so that you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Offer prayers and petitions in the Spirit all the time. Stay alert by hanging in there and praying for all believers. As for me, pray that when I open my mouth, I'll get a message that confidently makes the secret plan of the gospel known. I am an ambassador in chains for the sake of the gospel. Pray so that the Lord will give me the confidence to say what I have to say. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Sarah, thank you for reading our Bible passage for today. I want to just add a quick word about the story. You heard just a little about this with Pastor Jana in the welcome. I want to let you know I've had experience with the story in another church. We did the story, this was several years ago, and we had a fantastic experience with it. It had benefits that we didn't even anticipate before we got in there. But to read the sweep of the entire Bible and to have the same conversations, children, students, adults, everybody, every week along the way was really, really beneficial. And so I'm excited about it. I look forward to seeing you on the 27th or the 30th to get your book and as we launch the story. So I'm going to take a churchism today that we're talking about in this series, Unscrambling Church Speak. Have you ever heard someone say, it's spiritual warfare? Did you know what it meant? You know where it comes from? What it refers to? And what are we supposed to do if there's spiritual warfare? Well, the Bible certainly indicates that there are angels and demons involved in the Bible. I mean, certainly when Jesus was born, right? It was angels spoke to the shepherds in the field, tending their flock by night, about the birth of the Messiah in Bethlehem. And Jesus was known in his ministry to cast out demons out of people. So there's angels and demons in reference. The thing is that the Bible doesn't really have this one teaching about angels and demons. There are references, but there's not like this section in the Bible that says, now here's what you need to know about angels and demons and heavenly forces. So over the centuries, really for almost 2,000 years, there have been a lot of people develop theories and theologies about angels and demons. And some are very complex and very intricate. There's even a study in the world of theology called angelology. Some are very complex. Some are very simple. But there's no one teaching in the Scripture. And so there we are trying to figure out what that means. Now, I've heard the words spiritual warfare used primarily in one of two ways. My experience has been that when someone is going through a really difficult time, one of those really hard times, many of us have been through these, where you have a life-altering event that happens, and 2 weeks later, you have another one. And a month later, you have another one. I mean, right, they just pile on, and after a while, you're thinking, really? And I've heard people in that situation say, I think all this is spiritual warfare. The devil's trying to get me. Or maybe a friend of theirs says that to them. I think you're going through spiritual warfare. Now, the other way I tend to hear this is when there's some large conflict. There are difficulties that could have an impact on a lot of different people in our culture. And they get divided on religious lines. And sometimes those are those kinds of issues like gay marriage or abortion or things like that. And sometimes those disagreements and the ways that those lively discussions happen around those topics get described as spiritual warfare. There are even those who suggest the pandemic is spiritual warfare, but I'll get back to that in a minute. Now, the thing is, I've looked in the Bible. I've looked in several Bibles. I've looked in several different translations. And in the text of the Bible, spiritual warfare is not there. Now, there may be a heading in your Bible. You may be thinking, it says it right here. The publisher can add a heading in front of a section. But that's the publisher. It could be in a footnote, but that's not in the text of the Bible. And yet, we have this phrase from what Sarah read just a moment ago, where Paul or someone of Paul's followers says, "We aren't fighting against human enemies, but against rulers, authorities, forces of cosmic darkness, and spiritual powers of evil in the heavens." And so there you have it. Spiritual, and then with all the imagery to follow, warfare. Well, we got to remember the context, right? We got to remember the context of what's going on. This is in the first century in the Roman Empire. So to see Roman soldiers is a common everyday occurrence. And to see this armor that is described, people see this all the time. Now, remember, toward the end, Paul said he is an ambassador in chains. In other words, he's in prison. So he could very well have been, when he's writing this letter, he could have been sitting there in a cell, looking through the bars of his jail cell, looking at a Roman soldier as he wrote it. Now, part of the context also is that this is a letter, of course. This is a letter that from beginning to end is going to be consistent and coherent. And so when we think of the letter in its entirety, we have to understand this is going to connect to the rest of the letter. Because what was the first word Sarah said when she started reading it? Finally. So this is Paul's summation. This is Paul saying, okay, after all this stuff I've said, I'm putting it together right here. We're putting into practice now all that I've said before. So there are going to be connecting points. There are going to be dots. We're going to connect dots back to other things he said in the letter, because this is going to be consistent and coherent in his message, right? So, let's connect some of those dots. Verse 14 says, "Put on the belt of truth." The belt of truth. Now, remember, first century, people's clothes were very flowing, loose and flowing. So soldiers, of course, would wear belts around their garments as well. Other people sometimes needed to have a belt around their garments to hold their clothes close to them so they can move quickly and easily. So this belt of truth that you can move, you're nimble, you're quick, the belt of truth. Well, he talks about truth. Back in chapter 4, where he says, "Speak the truth." Ah, we love to do that. When all those people that we disagree with, we're going to make sure they know the truth. You got to read further. "Speak the truth in love." I've heard people say, "I'm telling you this because I love you." Yeah. But it's speak the truth in love to the believers. He's talking about being able to speak truth to one another for our mutual growth. It's not about shouting down somebody we disagree with. It's about speaking to one another out of love, even if it's a moment of correction or a moment of guidance, so that we, the believers, can continue to be faithful and grow. "Have the breastplate of righteousness." Now, in the translation that Sarah read, it says the breastplate of justice. Now, most translations use the word righteousness. And righteousness means, remember, we talked about this last week. We are made righteous by the blood of Jesus. We are made right with God. We experience salvation so that we are saved, we are reconciled, and we are restored. So he's saying that's the central part of who you are. That's the single largest piece of the armor, right, that you wear. So that becomes an identity. Now, earlier he talks about putting on the new self that you are in Christ Jesus. In chapter 4, I think verse 24, where he says, "Put on." Now the thing is, the verb in Greek is the same. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on this new self. He's saying this is the largest piece of who you are. It is central to everything. A person who is made right, who is made righteous with God as a gift. "Be sure and have the shoes of the gospel of peace." Remember, the word gospel means good news. You need shoes of good news. of peace. Well, he's talked about peace earlier on. In chapter 2, he says, Christ is our peace. He made both Jews and Gentiles, now Jews and non-Jews, people of different ethnicities, different religious backgrounds, different cultural backgrounds. He has made Jews and Gentiles into one group. With his body, he broke down the barrier of hatred that divided us. The hatred that divided them is gone. Christ has taken that away. That peace, those shoes of peace. We're in this together, brothers and sisters. Carry the shield of faith. Faith is an important component in all of what Paul has been saying. Some of those verses I mentioned last week, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For you are saved by grace through faith. In chapter 3, he says, let Christ rule in your heart through faith. Faith is our response, our reaction, that when God steps toward us with the gift of grace and love and forgiveness in Jesus Christ, it is our faith that receives it. And that faith becomes our protection. That faith in God that no matter what comes at us, we're going to be able to be firm and stand strong because we have that shield of faith. Now, the Roman shields would have been large and rectangular, you know, large enough that they could, you know, crouch behind them and hide their entire body. And before a battle, they were made of leather, and they would soak those in water so that when they were in battle and the enemy shot a flaming arrow at them and it stuck in the shield, it would extinguish it so that we can have our shield of faith that will extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Put on the helmet of salvation. Now, that's obviously to, you know, protect your head. So, but we're getting this picture, right, of this full set of armor. Now, we just have to remember not to take this as a militaristic way of doing faith. There are those who have done this. The church has done this. I mean, read your history, right? Read about the Crusades, the many efforts that Christians and the church made in the name of Jesus and did incredibly terrible violence to people. That's not what Paul's advocating. That is not what this is about. Except, you'll say, to take the sword of the Spirit. Ah, the sword. That's aggressive. But it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And what is the Word of God? The Word is Jesus. The Word made flesh and dwells among us. That the sword of the Spirit is not a weapon for attack. Hebrews 4 says that the Word of God is like is sharper than any two-edged sword that divides. It divides what is true from what is not true. What is of God from what is not of God. What we should do from what we should not do. It's about discernment and wisdom, the sword of the Spirit. So, we have this full armor of God. He takes a very normal picture from his day and time and says, this is what we need to have as people of faith in order to, did you catch that? What to do what? To stand. He says that several times. Put this on so you can stand. Stand firm. Other translations say to withstand the attempts from the enemy. To stand. Not to go on the offensive. To stand. To do what? To pray. Right? After all of this description of having the full armor so that you can stand, he says pray. Because no matter what's going on around you, you have protection. So with this protection, we can be as believers together to pray. Pray for other believers, he says, to pray for one another. And then he even says, pray for me, that I may have the right words to say as he continues to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. All this to pray that the battle is fought through prayer. Now, some would say the pandemic is a part of spiritual warfare. The fact that this virus, coronavirus, happened, this is a part of spiritual warfare, this is part of the evil forces of darkness. I don't think that's true. Viruses happen. Viruses have been around for a long time, and new viruses have popped up throughout history. This is not a new thing. I think the difficulty we run into is in our reaction to the fact that there's this virus. Now, I'm not trying to wade into the arguments about mask or no mask or social distancing, although, yes, you should social distance. Yes, you should wear your mask. Not weighing into that. What I'm talking about is in the midst of that, there are those who are losing faith. There are those who've kind of forgotten about God, kind of forgotten about the church. People have even said the church is closed. Friends, that's a misunderstanding of church. Don't you remember Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, you are now the rock on whom I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Friends, the church has not been closed. It's never been closed. The church is open. See, the funny thing is, we learned a lesson when we were young. Many of us learned this when we were young. Might have even taught our children this. The church is not a building. The church is people. Right. So of all times for let that sink in, today's the day. Yes, there's a building where the church gathers for worship, study, fellowship. Temporarily, we're not able to do that. So we adapt. So we use different methods. But the church has not missed a step. Our mission continues. We still are to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Ministry is ongoing. That has not changed. Now, one of the things that Paul has been trying to make sure the people in Ephesus knew, and that we should know, is that when it comes to these heavenly forces, God has already won the victory. That's already done. It's just that the enemy keeps trying to stir up battles. And we get distracted in the battle. And we lose sight, and we lose faith, and we lose perseverance, and we shrug our shoulders because thinking it's just done. Friends, our mission remains. The church is alive and well. So I got to thinking about what would this look like or sound like if it were written in our day and in our time. And so I took these verses, 10 through 20, and I read it, and I thought, how would I state that somehow to the church today? So this is my kind of take on Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. It is time to strengthen our resolve to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We are contending with factors that threaten to distort our message and distract us from our mission. They are not directly aimed at the church to destroy it, yet without our vigilance, they threaten our ability to carry out the vision to be a joyful community that strives to live and love like Jesus. So be on guard. Prepare yourself to remain faithful and take steps to ensure your own devotion, for you are the church. Guard against apathy in your faith. Don't believe everything you see or read. Do not perpetuate inflammatory speech, but speak peace and love. Be diligent about how you use your time. Practice patience, for many are struggling with great difficulty. Know that even though we cannot see one another as we once did, we remain united in commitment to our calling in Christ Jesus. Be in prayer for one another. Keep in touch with those you know. Invite friends and family to attend worship with you. Bring a friend to a Zoom study. Continue to give toward our common work in ministry and mission. Volunteer as you are able. May we all be the hands and feet of Jesus in a time that many are losing hope. And we will continue to trust that the one that is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. So, friends, sisters and brothers, as Paul encouraged, stand firm. And as Paul also encouraged, let's pray. Oh God, we thank you for your presence in the midst of uncertain and difficult times. We thank you for your love and your care, and we thank you for the fact that the battles are won. You have won. You have defeated evil. That life defeated death. So God, help us. Help us to have faith in that. And that when battles stir up, that we would stand firm. That we would stand firm in our faith, we would stand firm in our mission, and we would continue to pray for one another and for all, so that the good news might be continued to be spread throughout the world. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning. For more information, visit our website at mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.